Good evening. It's dark in here. Just off, first of all, off what Lorraine said, if there's anybody sitting in here that doesn't quite know what Lorraine means when she says praying in your prayer language, could you please ask somebody at the end of the service? And actually, we'll give an opportunity at the end of the service. If you don't know what that means, if you've never prayed in another language, you might hear it called praying in tongues, but if you've never prayed in a language which is not your own, then God has that for you. And it is part of the experience of walking with Jesus. So there is that. So have a think about that. If it's something you're like, huh? Your opportunity is here tonight. God has that for you. It's not for special believers. It's for every believer that opens their heart up to the Holy Spirit. So, you know what? I hadn't answered a prayer today before I really start. Many of you know my dad. For those of you who don't, he turns 80 at the end of next month. His health's not brilliant. He's getting older and he doesn't know Jesus. And I've started to change the way I pray about my dad. I feel like God corrected me on something. And I no longer say, God, reveal yourself to him, because I feel like God has actually done that on multiple occasions. I've started praying specifically, because he won't hear it from us, any of the family, God, send laborers and harvesters into my dad's life. Send laborers across his life to tell him about you. Send them. Well, something really happened to my dad yesterday that impacted him so much. He's a quiet man. He don't hear every detail of his life, but he made a point of telling Simon and Steph, of telling me, and he's obviously told his mum. Cut a long story short, driving to Redcliffe, boom goes the car, pulls off the side of the road, some dude stops to help him, turns out some hose pipe thing's broken. The guy says, look, there's an auto parts place just down the road, jump in, I'll take you, pulled it out. All right, auto parts down the road. Took them down, they didn't have what they wanted, took them to another one, almost tried to pay for it. And my dad's like, yeah, no, don't be, you know, sort that out. Took it back, reinstalled it, fixed up the car. But on the way back, and dad, you know, he was a fireman on his way home from his shift. So it was 8 o'clock in the morning, so obviously night shift, the shift workers, we know how glorious we all feel at the end of that one. And turns out that Dad says, you like your job? Love it. It has meaning. And he says, yeah, my daughter's a nurse. He says, I think I hear some of the same thing. Then he said, look, he says, I'm going to tell you something. You might think this strange. He says, but I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And he started to share with my dad. And my dad, he's got, yeah, well, I'm not a Christian. That's great for you. But I know a few people who are. I think, yeah, well, no kidding. You don't say. Anyway, when Dad was telling us this, I could barely keep from bursting into tears sitting at the lunch table today, family lunch thing with my brother and sister-in-law, et cetera, et cetera. Because I thought, God, you're hearing me. God, you are hearing me. Church, keep going. Keep praying. Keep believing. And ask God how to pray. If you're not getting fruit, ask God, am I praying right? Should I be praying something just a little bit different? Anyway, let's keep praying that, hey? Because he made a point of telling all of us about this guy who so went out of his way, so served my dad, in a way, opened him right up for him to say, yeah, well, I'm a Christian. Well, Dad can't stop talking about it. You know, Dad, that's amazing. Amazing. Anyway, the series, talking about being uncomfortable and restless. You know, so if I'm wanting to call this anything, and Ben hasn't given me a particular topic, I'm just sliding it under the theme, whoops, it would be this: not mistakers, but sinners. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that in just a sec. The church has long lost the idea that it's the done thing to go to church. Hey, you remember, thank goodness, really? You know, go back a generation or so and it was the socially acceptable thing to do. Good people went to church. Nice people went to church. Yep. Now, do cool people go to church? Do the happening people go to church? Not really, no. It's not the cool thing to do anymore, is it? It's not the socially acceptable thing to do anymore, to go to church or to be a believer in Jesus. In fact, it's quite the opposite. You know, I think that is a really, really good thing. Because now people no longer come to church including us, I hope, because it's the socially acceptable thing to do. We come to church because it's in this place that broken people get made whole. And it's in this place where lost people find a home. And it is in this place where sinners bound for hell meet the Saviour who gives them a new life. It is in this place that those without hope find a purpose. It's not the socially acceptable thing. It's the place where we come because Jesus is here. And Jesus does all this stuff, not the church as an establishment, but Jesus, the living one, the living God, not the dead God, but the resurrected one. The resurrected one, the one who is alive in us, who does these things. I'm going to talk a little bit about a guy who was so desperate to encounter Jesus that he got real uncomfortable. He was really, really rich, and he was really important, and he was aligned with the rulers of his time. His own people hated him, but whatever, because he had a Learjet or whatever the equivalent was 2,000 years ago. I don't know, motorized chariot or whatever the story is. Yeah. He was in with the bosses. They probably despised him as well, but hey, what did he care? He was rich. And in those days, like these days, money buys you all sorts of stuff, even friends. And as well, he had an image to uphold. And in his line of work, weakness of any sort would be exploited from every direction. The people around him would have been like sharks in the water. They saw any weakness on him, they'd have been in for the kill. Because this guy, he collected taxes for the Romans, who were the ruling, occupying force of the Jewish nation at the time, around about the time of Jesus, 2,000 years ago. And he collected the taxes for the hated Romans from his own people. So he was considered a traitor. They hated him. The Romans would have despised him because he was a traitor to his own people. And if one thing about the Romans, they were taught to be intensely loyal to Rome. So disloyalty was something they despised, even if it served their purposes. So they hated him. His own people hated him because not only did he take the taxes for the hated Romans, but he ripped them off. He was absolutely corrupt. The Romans would ask for this much, but he would take this much and pocket the rest for himself. This man, of course, his name was Zacchaeus. But he was like the mafia. You know, he was a bit untouchable. Romans didn't really care what he did. As long as they got their cut, he could do what he wanted. So this man, why did he do what he did? The story is in Luke in the Bible, and it tells the story that Jesus was coming by. And he so desperately wanted to see Jesus. He so wanted to get near to Jesus. But he was short, of small stature. But I reckon that wasn't the whole story. I reckon it was also the fact is that if he's pushing it, he had this image to uphold, and people hated him. So he wasn't looked like some little person who's just going to elbow their way in with the crowd and get in there. They would have pushed him away or despised him or shoved him out or pushed him down or taken great delight in grinding his face in the dirt, you know, like the rugby players do, on their way out. That would have been it. So this guy so wanted to get close to Jesus that he came up with another scheme. And he climbed up a tree, sycamore tree, I think it goes. They're all around Jericho. And he would have been really important because Jericho was the center of commerce around balsam and all those sorts of expensive things. So high up the pecking order, climbs up this tree so that he could get as close as he could so he could see this Jesus when he walks past. Because we know the rest of the story. Some of us do. For those of you who don't, when Jesus is walking past, remember, this is the most hated man in the city, really. When Jesus is walking past, he stops, he looks up, he calls up the tree, he says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, you want to come down from there? Because I'm coming to your place for lunch today." And you know what? The whole crowd would have had a massive "what" expression. Can you just hear it? There would have been this moment of just stunned silence, and then there would have been like, "Did he just say what I thought he said? Did he say that? What did he say? who's up there? Who's up there? We're going up there. Who's up there? Who's your grandfather? Zacchaeus. No, no. Zacchaeus. No, that's wrong. Now, who is it up there? Hey, hey, who's up that tree? Who's up there? I heard it's Zacchaeus. It can't be right. Yeah, it was Zacchaeus. And the crowd was stunned, and the religious people of the day were stunned. You know what they said? He can't be who he says he is. Otherwise, he'd know who this guy is, and he wouldn't go anywhere near him. And then something else happened to Zacchaeus, which I'll come back to in a sec. Thing is, Zacchaeus made himself really uncomfortable. He made himself open, actually, to ridicule, exploitation, every other thing to get close to Jesus. He opened himself up. He would have had to have shown people that he was desperate to see who this dude was. How desperate are we? How desperate are we to get close to this Jesus? And you think, is Zacchaeus, why did he go up the tree? Because he had no idea, actually, that Jesus would want him anywhere near. He'd have absolutely assumed that Jesus wouldn't have wanted him anywhere close either. We, of course, we know that he was profoundly wrong. And that's the thing about church, and that's why I've titled this thing Not Mistakers, Sinners. Because the idea, I think, and it's being lost, absolutely, thank goodness, used to be that the church is not full of mistakers in need of correction. It's full of sinners in need of a saviour. Do you get the distinction? I'm going to get a bit radical here. The church is not here to tell people what lifestyle to live, to correct or adjust your lifestyle. It's not what it's all about. I know that's controversial. Church is here to talk about truth, to talk about grace. And that means talking about sin, and it means talking about a saviour. It's not talking about what element of your life you're not going to be getting right. It's talking about the fact that in the middle of our broken world and our broken hearts, there is a Saviour who would look up our tree and say, hey, you, come down, because I would dine with you. I want to be close with you. I want to be intimate with you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how much they hate you. I don't care how much you hate yourself. I want to be close to you. I want to be close. That's what Jesus said to Zacchaeus before he did anything else. We can think, even as Christians, and if you're not a believer, you may believe this as well, that to get Jesus to accept you, that you've got to put some ducks in a row. You've got to get some stuff sorted out. You know, we sing a song called Amazing Grace, and I was thinking about it this morning when we were singing it. You know why grace is so amazing? Is that it meets my need every single time, right to the depths of my innermost core. Because people, honest, real people, are fragile, aren't we? We're really fragile. We want to get across the idea that to come into church, to come into this church, you don't have to be all that. You don't have to be together. You don't have to have your life together. You don't have to have a certain lifestyle. You don't have to be the perfect Christian to come to church and to enter into the presence of God. Church, real church, is full of real people who have met a real Saviour. People who are not afraid to be really honest. I'm not talking about being really negative. I'm not talking about that. Coming in and just blaring all of your bits and pieces and being negative, and I'm talking still, you still need faith. I'm talking about just being real and saying, God, sometimes bits of my life are not so great. You know what? 2016 was not a great year for me, for us, for a variety of reasons. A lot of grief. People died. Parents, little children, others, and other things happen. It was pretty ordinary. And you know what? 2017 is looking worse for for us as a family, for one thing and another. It's been one thing after another after another. I'm not going to tell you any stories out of school, but I do need to tell you this. I can stand up here and you can think all sorts of things. My life is not perfect. My home life is not perfect. My marriage is not perfect. My nothing is perfect, but there's one thing I'm absolutely, absolutely convinced of, is that His grace is enough for me. His grace is enough for me. He is bigger and He is stronger, and He wants to pour that bigger and that stronger out in my life. He wants to do it. He wants to do it in yours as well. But this is where the uncomfortable part comes. We have to open ourselves up. And if you can't be real with anybody else, then be real with God. Be real with God. Go to Him, even in worship in church, and say, God. Be real with God. Be real. It's uncomfortable to face our own failings and our own weakness and our own lack. But until we do, then grace can't be poured in. Because we remove ourselves from needing grace when we're not real. And that is uncomfortable. And that can hurt. And that can leave us open to all sorts of things, like Zacchaeus up his tree. But like him, Jesus comes to our tree and looks up and says, hey, come on down. Come on down. You know what happened to Zacchaeus? He didn't just have a lifestyle change. He had a complete heart transformation. Because what he did after that, he had his encounter with Jesus. And the way the Bible writes it, it's not even like it's after lunch. It was like right then. He has this encounter with Jesus, and all of a sudden he says, Lord, whatever I have taken from people, I will return it. And how many times did he give it back? Four times as much. That's not a little lifestyle change. Oh, that's not 10%. That's not a lifestyle adjustment. That is a heart that has been ripped out and replaced with a heart that is completely new. Because he was willing to get uncomfortable. He was willing to push through. He was willing to open himself up. And he climbed up a tree. And the Son of the living God says, hey, come on down from there. Because I want to be friends with you and I want to be close. Nobody around even knew what was going on, but all of a sudden, I bet the whole town was talking about it. Can you imagine? Pre-Facey, pre-Twitter, pre-Instagram, pre-everything, but the networks are pretty good. The whole town would have known what had happened to Zacchaeus that day. And they would have been left wondering and astonished. And that's what we're talking about with church, with real church, with a real encounter with God. Doesn't matter who or what or where. You know, sin is the great social equalizer. It's the great leveler. When we get a revelation that our sin, our core, our rottenness of heart removes us from God as much as Adolf Hitler's sin removed him from God, then that's a pretty fragile place to be in. You remember that? Some of you know that old hymn, Just As I Am? Did you know there's a couple of verses in the middle? I've ripped this out of Andrew Stanley's book, but I found this absolutely amazing. There's a couple of verses in the middle, and I'll finish with this. It says that they don't get sung a lot of the time. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within and without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. That hymn writer knew about being real, hey. We're not talking about being negative. We're talking about being real. Church, when we are real, then church moves way out of culture and becomes a place of healing and a place of encounter and a place of power where there's amazing grace. I'm going to finish with that now. If there's any of us here, if you are here and you have never met this Jesus that we are talking about, if you've never been comfortable enough to say, if you're trying to fix yourself up before you think Jesus will accept you, you need to know that that is completely unnecessary. Jesus wanted to be friends with Zacchaeus when he was the most despised dude in town. Chances are that it's not you. He wants to call you down from your tree. If you're in church, you've gone up a tree. It's not socially acceptable to be here, but you're here. So Jesus would come and say, hey, hey, come close. Come close, because I want to be intimate with you. I want to love you. I want to be friends with you. I want to take out your old heart and give you a new one so that your whole, not your lifestyle is transformed, but your whole world is transformed so that people would know that there is a Saviour alive in Caboolture. Is there anybody here who has never given Jesus that opportunity? Would you just slip your hand up? We'll pray with you. Is there anybody here that never has? This is your night. This is your night. Jesus has stopped under your tree. Is there anybody here? Just slip your hand up and we'll pray. If there's anybody here who has not prayed in that prayer language that we've been hearing about and you'd like to, tonight is also your night. You come out the front and there's a few people that will pray with you to believe, Gwen and others, who will pray with you with faith so that that can happen for you and you can see parts of your world transformed. If you've not had that experience and you would like it, then he is here for you tonight. It's not for special people. It is for every believer who has given their life over to Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian here tonight who sometimes still tries to fake out God, and tonight know that Jesus is at the foot of your tree as well, saying, you know what, don't bother. I want to be intimate. My grace is enough. My grace is enough. It is enough. Not your form, but in the deepest parts of you, my grace is enough. Lord, tonight, as we go from this place, thank you for reminding us that every single day you come to us and you say, come. You say, come. Lord, help us to be real before you and just to know that you love us. There's not one thing that we could do that would make you love us less. Or one thing we could do that would make you love us more. But Lord, we want to please you. So we want to be close with you. We want to be close, Lord Jesus. We want to be close. We want to be close. Lord, we want to be close. We want to draw close to you. As you draw close to us, we draw close to you. Draw close, Jesus. Draw us to yourself. Draw us, Lord. Draw us, Jesus, so that the town out there would know that there is a God who is alive in Caboolture. There is a God who is alive in Caboolture. There is a God who resurrects lives. There is a God who changes hearts. There is a God who transforms homes and marriages. There is a God who sets free from depression. There is a God who breaks yokes on people's lives. There is a God who smashes down addictions. Lord, you are that God, and tonight we honor you. We draw close to you, Lord Jesus. We draw close. We draw. We draw, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless you.